Hey everyone, welcome back. This week we're talking about, well, it's a Chris Rock movie, it's a David Hyde Pierce movie, it's a Bill Murray movie, and it is gross. We're going inside Bill Murray with Osmosis Jones. I mean, I didn't expect this movie to be super gross, but then he eats something off the floor of an ape enclosure, and oh, gross. It's really gross. And that will come across as also really gross. In the meantime, thanks for listening, subscribing, join the Patreon. We have a lot of great content there. And also, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you get us. Join the Facebook group. We have about 300 people there. And it's always nice to see participants. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are covering Osmosis Jones, an over-budgeted episode of The Magic School Bus. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Movies, and for us in a Providence panel, we have...
Hello, this is Daniel, frequent contributor to Popdose, and I don't have a joke this time. I just want to say Nick's exactly right. This was an episode of The Magic School Bus.
Nora Trinette, I'm disgusted by popping zits.
Oh, boy.
Dude, I was drinking something. I'm going to be sick.
Yum.
And Lauren, a Tim.
So
I can't do body humor. I just can't.
I don't know why we decided on this movie. We kind of drew it out of a hat. We're like, we need another animated movie. We want something that kind of will you know.
I remember this playing all the time on cable back in the day.
And this is one that if I saw, it was somewhere where I wasn't paying attention. Because, like, I remember jokes from it, and I don't know if it had a particularly aggressive trailer campaign. But none of this seemed surprising. Like, it's Fantastic Voyage, kind of. But as a noir.
Well, I guess the educational part of the movie, of being, you know, what goes down in the human body. Like, for real, I was telling you this earlier. My anatomy teacher let us watch this movie for 2 whole days. I didn't think she had like a lesson plan.
As opposed to Fantastic Voyage, you got Osmosis Jones.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think she was a good teacher in the first place. She was just like
short lady.
Yeah.
Okay, but I will say, as the house nurse, there was a lot of inaccuracies.
Really?
I'm sorry. Yes, I had to bring that up. There was a lot of good, but a lot of not. Right.
So a Farrelly Brothers movie wasn't completely accurate on human anatomy.
Yes, just weird words
about the immune system.
Holy spit!
That is a line in this movie.
I mean, like you have the white blood cells who fight things. They're the cops.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Chicken grease.
Well, let's stop here for the idea that there's a single strain of the virus that's floating around. That's a lot. It never multiplies once. And the fact that there's also only one white blood cell that shows up is a little much as well. There would be a traffic jam every time this shows up. Like that's the idea. And it's almost a joke in here. I also do kind of like they did the pill, just survives for days and days and days and days. That's funny.
That's pretty funny.
It's funny. Okay, so Nora, this is your turn. You got one? You got a plot synopsis?
Yes, finally. I can finally do this. So we open to...
Oh, your mic should be on. I'm kidding.
Are you serious?
No, dude, I'm kidding.
All right. So here we have Frank, who is played by the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Murray, which I'm pretty sure has a cult following nowadays.
Yes. Oh, 1,000%.
He's a single father who works at a zoo hanging out with his daughter.
Shane,
yes. Frank, as we first see, gets in a fight with a monkey for a hard-boiled egg, which he just douses in mayo, just Minnesota mayo
and salt.
And then he puts salt for like 20 minutes straight. He eats the egg, and then we get into his body, in his body, his mouth, which we're then introduced to Osmosis, voiced by Chris Rock, who is a white blood cell, which in this universe is the cops. And basically, this egg has this little virus, which is, I think, what was it called?
The Thorax.
The Red Death.
Yeah.
And basically, Thraxus, you know, he's killed a couple of people, calls Ebola. His synopsis between him and Ebola is that he, compared to Ebola, it's a piece of dandruff. In the midst of all this, not feeling well, Bill Murray Frank, he takes a pill, which then we're introduced to the character Drax. Was it? Yeah.
Drixon,
which is voiced by, who was the voice actor in this?
David Hyde Pierce.
Which I thought it was
Kevin Kline.
Which
you got this, buddy. English. It's so good.
I know, right? I got it.
It's not Mr. Fishoder from Bob's Burgers. It is, in fact, Sideshow Bob's brother.
And basically, this movie goes through their adventures in trying to defeat the disease, which is the Red Death.
Did we mention that this is half live action, half animated, where everything that happens inside Frank's body is animated and everything that happens in, I guess, the real world is live action?
Yeah. So I figured out why this became an episode. This movie looks good, right?
Right.
Yep. How much do you think it cost to make in 2001?
I guess 60 million.
I 20.
40.
70. So, wow. I mean, it's an expensive movie. You want to guess how much it made in total worldwide gross in the theaters?
Oh.
140.
It probably broke.
20.
I probably made a profit, but not a big one. I'm going to say 90.
Less than 15 million.
Wow.
Jesus.
Well, there was some big actors around this movie, which probably, you know, had a bunch of bait.
Yeah. No. I'm saying it lost $55 million.
Oh, snap.
Right. And that doesn't count advertising.
It took 70 to make, but only made 15.
That doesn't count advertising, so it was probably cost $80 million. Like, it only made $14 million back.
How did the Farrelly brothers ever work again?
Because they stopped doing comedy.
Well, there were a couple things they did after this. Stuck on You, which I'm sure we're going to watch soon.
Movie 43.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
That was them?
Yes. That was them, too.
Oh, Adrian. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize it bombed that bad.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe that's why we all saw it, because when a movie bombs like that, the rights are super cheap, and they will end up on your television set.
I remember watching this on cable a whole bunch with my brother back in the day, because it was on HBO constantly, especially in the next summer.
Well, I mean, this did spawn off a TV show, which was on Fox Kids back in the day, who was voiced by Phil Lamar, who... You know, is, I guess, the poor man Chris Rock, in a sense, you know, with his voice is going on.
He'll do your animated movie, that's for
true.
Sure.
That's true.
Who else was in that animated show? Anybody noteworthy?
Let's see. I'm looking at now. Jeff Bennett? No?
Wow. Oh, wow. I know. Hey. I mean, he was the Dexter's dad in Dexter's Laboratory, I think.
Good quick pull.
Elena Umpach? Probably saying that wrong. Let's see. You don't want me reading. And I guess Rob Paulson.
Rob Paulson's
the legend.
No, so I didn't even know there was an animated show, so that's cool. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. But no, this movie they're obviously showing the system of Frank and how his body works. There's a Mayor Flemington.
Who is William Shatner.
Yeah, he's voiced by William Shatner, and
his aide, voiced by recording artist Brandy.
Yeah, but exactly by Brandy. And I guess since the main guy Pete, who's the zookeeper, who is Bill Murray, since his wife passed away, I guess he's really kind of let himself go. He doesn't exercise. Yeah. He doesn't eat well.
His diet.
Bad lifestyle. He doesn't. And so his daughter, Shane, is really worried about him.
He's clearly suffering depression just based on the way he looks. He's got a constant 5 o'clock shadow. He's overweight. I mean, there's a scene with him. Yeah, he's constantly sweaty.
I'm surprised they didn't get a bigger person. Not saying celebrity-wise, but like, you know, physically a bigger person.
Yeah. This would have been Chris Farley if Chris Farley was still alive at the time.
But Nick put it really well during the movie. He was like, Bill Murray is perfect for this role because you can make him look dirty.
He was pretty...
He's just naturally kind of like... Don't get me wrong. I love Bill Murray. But he's just naturally kind of that 5 o'clock shadow, dirty, musky,
craggy face.
Yeah. Like it suits him perfectly. So he doesn't really care about himself too much. And so he gets his egg, eats the egg. And that's how Thrax gets in the body.
God. You're reminding us of that scene again with the chimp.
God, this movie's so gross.
It's a good. Like I said,
the human body is
disgusting, and yeah. This is how you know it works essentially, especially when you take bad care of yourself. You know, like I think.
Listen, COVID, for example.
Yeah, no, well, that's true. Yeah, this is how
should there
for
be
COVID.
A sequel with COVID? Mm.
So funny enough.
Oh boy.
Oh,
this just reminded me. This came out August 10th, 2001, and the producer at one point came out and said of the DVD release, "We thought this would have a sequel if it wasn't for 9/11."
What?
Why does 9/11 have anything to do with it?
Because it came out a month before 9/11, and so a lot of people blame 9/11. But I mean, you asked why they worked again. I looked this up. This was the same year they released Shallow Hal.
Oh, okay.
Which was a big, like, yeah, again, it's a small hit. Money comedy. It maybe cost $30 million, and it made 150, 160 bags. Like, that's your success that says, this is good. 9/11.
I mean, that would make sense why I lost money, because people were afraid to go out.
9/11.
I don't know what to say.
Right?
It was a month before. By that time, it was out of theaters.
That's like its opening weekend. It opened fifth, and then it went down from there.
Then it's gone by that point.
Mm. No.
But it's just funny that you're just like, you know, would have saved our movie if it hadn't been 9/11. And you're just like, guys.
No, it just immediately made me want to wash my face and brush my teeth, like just when they showed the mouth and the germs.
This movie should have been sponsored by Scope. Right?
Yeah.
Like Listerine. Be a Murray.
We get a scene of Bill Murray vomiting on Molly Shannon in this movie
from eating some kid's science project.
According to my hypotenuse, those oysters are safe to eat.
Hypotenuse.
Hypotenuse is what he says in the movie.
Hypotenuse is correct.
I'm from now on say hypotenuse from now on.
Right. No, the scene that got me was the zit. I'm sorry. I can take vomit. Yeah. The zit.
Oh, hold up. We gotta. I think. Let's go back to the leading to the zit, because the virus comes through, trying to. You know, okay, just say from the science point...
This is so gross.
Okay, from the science point aspect, this red death comes in acting like a common cold, so it's going to, you know, do some things so it gets the mucus and stuff. It just, yeah.
But wait. You're saying that there's a disease that's significantly more lethal that most people think is just the common cold?
That's what Lawrence Fishburne's character was trying to say.
Larry Fishburne had a message.
Larry Fishburne.
Good old Larry Fishburne.
I will say
this. Is the Red Death COVID?
I will say this.
Oh, is the Red Death COVID? Is this in the future? Shit, man.
I will say this. I was also disgusted by the zit scene. I mean, any scene with Kid Rock in it is just gross.
Significant fever? Anyway.
I know. And it spreads to the girl's lashes or whatever.
Yeah. And yes, Kid Rock is in this movie because it was 2001.
Kidney Rock, yeah.
This was a year before JC died, or Joe C died.
Joe C died?
Yeah, like the 2002. Little kid?
Oh, wow.
I'd forgotten celiac disease.
Oh.
There's no joke. It's just looked him up and it said in memorandum. I'm like, go back. He's an animated three-legged virus for half a second. What's going on?
He did something for the kids. That's nice, you know.
Anyway, there's this whole underground scene where, the Red Death, Larry Fishburne murders a Marlon Brando virus in a sauna.
Located in the pits where there's a sweat lodge.
In the sweat lodge.
The sweat lodge in the pits.
This is gross.
Yeah.
And apparently...
Gross. The human body's disgusting.
Apparently his goal is to kill Frank simply because that's how viruses earn their reputation in this universe, is whether or not they get into medical textbooks. One of Osmosis Jones's informants says, there's a new place in the forehead called the Zit. That's where everything's going down. So they have to go meet there.
Yeah, that was super cute. The informant is the flu vaccine.
Yes.
That was super cute. One of the good germs.
I was only injected in this body to rat on influenza.
This isn't influenza to me.
He said he's protected by the witness germ protection program?
Something like that. There are a lot of puns like that in this movie. Any noir cliche or cop movie cliche you can think of, just stick a random body part to it, and it's in this movie.
Or just take a chill pill.
I see what you did there. Like, I remember watching this as a kid and then watching it now. There's a lot of adult, like, humor into this.
Yes. For example, this IMDb trivia. The drain drops outside the newsstand look like sperm cells.
Our founder
is a sperm cell.
I mean, you got to think, like, those animated movies at the time, I mean, like Shrek and all that kind of stuff, like your parents would go take you to the movies, and then obviously it's a movie for kids, but I'm sure they would sneak in some adult references just
Disney
for the parents.
Disney did that all the time from the 80s onward.
Yeah, Disney still does that. No, or like when they're, he goes, you know, it's that thing that hangs down from Frank's regular.
From the, yeah, and he's like, oh,
he's
no,
like,
that's,
oh, no, or that, he goes, no, the we're throat, going to the boxers. The
talking about balls.
The thing that.
Testicles. Testicles, listeners. They're talking about testicles.
Hey, now.
You're an all-star.
But,
that was involuntary. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so where should we go from here? I mean, the whole thing is a cop story. They're trying to get to the Red Noir.
Frankly, I hated the live-action sequences. If it was up to me, do it entirely animated. Maybe have a few POV shots where you see, like, the real world and maybe, like, Bill Murray looking at himself in a mirror. But this should have been an entirely animated movie.
But we wouldn't get great scenes with Bill Murray and Chris Elliott, who's also in this movie as well.
We still could have.
It could have been animated.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, it could have been POV. So, like, the scene late in the movie where Bill Shatner is trying to control Frank and he's passing out from his body temperature and... Chris Elliott's like, okay, we're to a hospital. The trip is off. That would have worked. And it would have been a lot funnier, too, I think, because it's would have been like, oh my God, it's Chris Elliott just in like 30 seconds of movie.
I will say, though, this movie is lazy because in no way does the actual animated world interact in any way. Like, that's how you make it a movie, if they interact with the cartoons in some way. Like, the cartoons are the ones who, like... You do a side shot of the eye, and you see him pushing up against the lens, and so you have the interaction.
They try towards the end of the movie.
A bit.
In the final scene.
When she's holding... There's a giant CGI horrifying eye thing.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
The plot points in this movie, I mean, Osmosis Jones comes in... I even forget how he's introduced in this movie.
He's on probation.
He's on probation. There's another virus that breaks in. He's in the mouth in this weird helicopter-y thing.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah. And then...
they're fighting gingivitis or whatever.
Yep. Well, it's after Frank eats the egg, right? And those are the initial germs that
the
come in.
The monkey dropped 10-second roll egg, yes. Mayonnaise covered, sodium infused.
It has hay on it. It has zoo hay on that egg.
I wanted to eat a salad after I watched this movie. So.
just no, still
that's
hungry.
Where, that's where we meet him.
I know, right? Yeah. Right. That makes me not want to eat.
Yeah.
And then it becomes clear that Mayor Flemington, who's in charge of this body, and that he's in for re-election. And
yes,
that there's a new mayor that's Ron, voiced by Ron Howard.
Who breaks a kid's neck, by the way. They suddenly, like, he twists the kid's, and they show a cut to the kid's neck. He's wearing a neck brace.
Yeah.
Yep. Dude, that was something.
So the new mayor is his campaign is that it has to be exercise and food and taking care of our bodies. And the mayor of Flemington doesn't want that. And he's like, my constituents don't want that.
Well, the whole thing about that is that's where we get the climax, is about how Frank's going to the Chicken Wing Festival in Buffalo, New York, where there's like, what, 128 flavors of wings to try out?
No, 99 wings, 128 dipping sauce.
Ah, there you go.
Yes.
Which is... by the way, folks, there's an actual wing festival now because of this movie.
There's a Buffalo Wing Festival
that actually takes place. Check it out.
Yeah. He doesn't ever buy a ticket. He doesn't, he's never invited. He just shows up and they give him wings. That's right.
They didn't even, like, the other actors didn't say they were getting paid. Like, David Hyde Pierce went one time, he goes, oh, this wing is spicy. And then he laughed. But Bill Murray's like, it's good to see you guys.
Like, no one's ever going to believe
you. I have Caddyshack, Bill Murray. That's all I got.
I was about to say.
It's a really good story. It's a good movie. Yeah.
So do you think Frank got total consciousness from the Dalai Lama?
Could have been. But no, in a weird spectrum, this movie turned into a weirdly gross things of human body. But within the movie, it was like a buddy cop movie means like 48 Hours, Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon between Frank and Drax, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The cold pill is Drax. I'm not sure if we've mentioned that.
Yeah, he takes
a cold pill after getting a cramp. He gets a cramp because osmosis, trying to fight a germ, shoots his nervous system.
Yep.
And then he gets a cramp. Then he, I think, and by this time, this is after he had already eaten the egg, which had the virus, which is the Red Death. And then while trying to swallow his chicken, after he gets, like, I guess, heartburn, was it? And
then It's going down rough.
And while his daughter is trying to make it a doctor's appointment with him, he gets his subconscious taken by William Shatner's character, the mayor, saying that if he goes to the doctor, it's going to infringe on this this weekend plan of going to Buffalo for the Wing Festival. And then he takes a, as the mayor hijacks his subconscious, saying, oh, I don't need to go to the doctor, I'm just going to take a cold pill. And then we're introduced to the red pill.
Well, originally, it was over a sore throat. Like you said, the chicken was going down rough.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that scene when he had the cramp and his daughter was like trying to massage it and he just kept going, leg! Where does it hurt? Leg! 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 And then eventually she hands him like a drumstick from a KFC bucket.
Ugh. I miss KFC. I've only had Popeyes since the chicken sandwich came out. I know that's a side story, but yeah.
Zaxby's has the superior chicken sandwich.
You are bashing for baby.
I can eat now, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you can eat now. Yeah.
I mean...
I could eat. Know what you got.
I know.
So we should bring up how this movie looks, because we've kind of talked a little bit about it, but this is, the animation here is disgusting, but gorgeous. I mean,
yeah,
like,
it's gorgeous.
It's Ron, it reminded me a lot of Don Bluth, which we've done some of, you know.
It reminded me of Brad Bird and the Iron Giant.
So, funny enough, I found a story researching the movie. Okay, so Warner Brothers at this point was, animation specifically, was in financial straits. They had tried to make, I think, Swan Princess right around here, and it was a financial flop. It didn't look good. It was panned. Okay. 2000, Iron Giant comes out, right? And it's a masterpiece. It makes a lot of money. A lot of money. Okay.
Not initially. It was a cult film at first.
Sort of, kind of, but it played forever. Like, it didn't make a lot of money at first, played forever, but it was critically reviewed very well.
Yes, it was.
It's a masterpiece now, yes.
So, Brad Bird had a second pitch, and Warner Brothers asked him for it, and they were in financial trouble. They chose the Farrelly Brothers to do Osmosis Jones instead of Brad Bird's second animated pitch, which turned out to be The Incredibles.
Oh.
So, this movie almost was The Incredibles, and instead sunk Warner Brothers animation.
That's, yeah. You chose...
Dude, this is the example of drinking from the wrong cup, man. Yeah. This is, woo!
In life, we have decisions, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're
bad. That's right.
It's not a bad movie, it's just a weird movie to make into an anime movie, because it's not really for kids.
Well, I was going to say, if you cut 10,000 out of the, or 10 million out of the budget and made it PG-13, like, had more jokes, maybe. But, like, you don't... Why would you hire Chris Rock if he can't swear? It's like a Samuel Jackson movie where he doesn't say motherfucker. Yeah, right? Like, you hire that guy for the motherfucker. Like, he dances with that word.
Samuel Jackson was in The Incredibles, though, and, you know, he didn't...
Oh, yeah, snap. But he does the thing. He goes to his wife and goes,
Where is my super suit?
Right? And like,
you want that tone. You want that tone of voice.
Chris Rock gets, you know, his stand-up routine in a little bit. You know, like, I guess in the early 2000s and 90s, he was always joking about, like, how he's poor. In this movie, he talked about what it was living like in the backside, which was his ass. You know, how they couldn't afford, you know, anything. They had a, you know... he said, you know how hard it is to blow dry your hair with a fart, you know, that kind of thing. So he gets to it, but like I said, he's a vulgar comedian and he didn't get to be vulgar.
Yeah, that's another scene that gets real gross.
Yeah, but he doesn't really get to riff the way Chris Rock riffs, and he's a genius stand-up comedian, but here it's just like, it's just dumb puns, which isn't what Chris Rock is known for.
First of all, Kelsey Grammer needed to be in this because Niles was in it, and that makes it a funny joke.
Oh, he should have been the mayor.
great. Or I said Ron Howard should have been played by Patrick Stewart, so you have the two captains going at it.
Oh,
I mean, at this point,
nice.
At this point, you could have had Sisko. Like, anyone. Janeway!
There you go.
I am old. Hi, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I know what Cross of Grammar was, but that's about it.
I hear the blues are calling, toss down in them scrambling.
Oh, Frasier! Okay, I got you.
No, Kelsey Grammer could have been part of the brain system. When he got to the brain.
Not so much these days he can't, but maybe back then.
He was the second, like, and he's one of the
he could have been
the
help with
the
Alma's guard or something.
Or the person that they call the memory person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, this is Frasier Crane. I can't do a Frasier. His voice is so, like, sonorous. Like, it's so deep and it's saucy.
I still think of him as Sideshow Bob as opposed to Frasier Crane.
I mean, yeah, but I have to be classy occasionally.
I remember him as Beast in X-Men 3.
Yes,
X-Men
he was.
United.
I remember him from that YouTube clip where he falls off the stage mid-sentence when he's... No, none of you? Oh,
no, doesn't surprise me.
Real Housewives? No?
No, he was doing like a live show on stage and he steps off the stage and he goes...
X-Men?
I'll show
there
it after
a live
the recording.
Okay, X-Men hey,
him and his ex were on Real Housewives too. Mm. I'm just saying.
I'm sure that was slightly less embarrassing than those times that he kept stepping on the rake over and over again.
Anyways, Daniel made Nick walk away. No, I adored this film. I thought it was great. It was I'd never seen it before, so. I was very impressed with the animation. I thought it was beautifully done.
And
very cool way to show
a
unique perspective of how the body works.
Mm-hmm. I love how the membrane was like the hairstyles for the white blood cells and how the germs looked. It was very creative in trying to anthropomorphize these microscopic organisms.
Mm-hmm.
It was clever.
It's a beautiful way of saying that, man. Yeah. I really like the movie. Even that now... I'm 28 or whatever. It still holds up, and I don't know. I don't know about y'all, but I really wanted to take care better of my body after I saw what's in the Frank.
I get that.
Yeah.
Although there are some really morbid jokes in this movie too. Like after the Red Death nearly kills Frank, right? I mean, I don't think we care about spoilers at this point. Nearly kills him. He actually does die, and then he comes back with a pulse after Osmosis Jones. Gives them the things they need to fix the hypothalamus, and the first thing he says to his daughter is, "Your mom says hey," and I'm like, "What's going on there?"
It's very dark. His daughter says, "Maybe if you and mom had taken better care of yourselves, she would still be here."
She's blaming her dad on her mom's death.
Yeah, totally.
Well, this goes to the first scene where Osmosis goes and meets Drax, and they're at the airport, and he meets Brandy's character. Tries to flirt with her. He's like, "Hey, I know a spot behind the eye that we can meet up and do something."
Mm-hmm, girl.
Yeah. This was a PG movie for kids? I don't know.
Well, I mean, if back in 2001, if you saw Brandy, that's about what you would say, right?
Well, no, and then she makes a joke saying, he's like, "Girl, I got girls lining up for me, just want to divide." And she says, "I'm sure you do all the dividing by yourself."
Yes.
Yeah, you look like you're gonna
joke.
Love it.
Well,
like,
I mean,
you divide by yourself.
That's not even like the laziest. Like, at one point, Chris Rock walks into the room and goes, "Hey, Brandy, I mean, yeah."
You think at this point they're like,
Lena.
Fuck it.
Well, I mean, the line is delivered well, so I guess leave it in.
No, they did that on purpose.
Well,
the
dumbest line in this movie is when Drax comes in that giant capsule and Leia is like, "Ooh, that looks big." And then Chris Rock's like, "You know that's 99% sugar." And then Brandy's like, "You know you're 99% stupid." It's like, God, did anybody want to rewrite that?
It's for the kids.
I know.
It's for the kids.
That doesn't mean you have to be lazy about it.
Yeah. You actually brought up a cool fact while we were watching the movie that they had a lot of, like, majority of the actors who are in the live action part are a lot of SNL alumni.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Chris Elliott, Bill Murray, Molly Shannon, and then, you've got Chris Rock in this movie.
But, no. I mean, I think my favorite part of this whole movie was actually the club zit part, because he had to go in, he had to like disguise himself or whatever just to like fit in, and Drax tries to like break his face, you know. And then they have the little, you know, Nick pointed out the nice little, the black guy showing the white guy how to dance in the club scene. So that was a cute moment.
And the bartender like making a drink by like putting pus in a glass.
The human body is a wonderful thing.
I don't know, after seeing this movie, if I'd agree with that fact.
I mean, you never, you don't want to know how the sausage is made. You just eat it.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. You don't want to know how the sausage is made, but it's made. That is, I mean, a lot of it's true.
I mean, there could have been a scene where Bill Murray was having a real rough time on a toilet, I guess. He could have really rounded out this movie.
I think that would have gotten the movie more than a PG rating. Knowing what the Farrelly brothers do with toilet scenes.
I mean, we have a showdown between William Shatner, who looks like Richard Nixon, and we got Ron Howard looking like a Kennedy type, and we're talking about a man shitting his brains out. That's kind of what this movie is. I can't believe there's a plot about a political election.
It's a subplot, but I get your point. It's weird.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on in this germ noir movie.
Ooh, germ noir. I like that term.
That's right.
I love it.
Germ noir.
Mayor Flemington.
Flemington.
Did you? By the way, I looked this up in the middle of the movie. Do you know who voices Osmosis's chief?
No.
Mm-mm. Joel Silver.
That's a good pull. There's so much in this movie. It's very bizarre. For a 90-some-odd minute, like, kids movie, I assume.
Yeah.
I assume.
I remember this being marketed to kids, but
9/11, I guess.
I guess 9/11.
9/11.
I mean, was that really what they meant to do? Was this just supposed to be an animated movie that was just out there? Because
so Osama bin Laden saw this, and then he's like, now 9/11 has to happen.
Oh my God!
No. Stop it!
No. Boom. I thought that's what you were saying.
No, what I mean is, did the Farrelly brothers sit down and it's like, okay, we're gonna make a kids' movie, or did they just say, you know what, we're gonna make this movie, we can make it animated, and whoever likes it likes it.
I wonder if it's not a thing where whoever produced this movie, Warner Brothers, said, we said they could direct 4 movies under their contract, and that last one wasn't very good. So, you see what I'm saying? Like, this movie was already approved, and like, hey, what about animation? Right? In that way that, what was it? Fantastic Mr. Fox? Like, they just said, we owe you a movie. Why don't you try stop motion animation? Right? Like, at a certain point, that's how you get out of a contract. You put this out in Shallow Hal the same year the contract's over. Otherwise, they're a very weird decision unless they were contractually obligated to do something, right?
No, I think it was kind of, let's make it animated and whoever likes it, likes it. I think there's a little too many adult jokes in there, or a little too, I don't know.
It kind of
a little too
me.
Gross, like, real-life scenarios for it to be just purely for kids.
Although, if you told me that it was a studio chop job and this original script was an R-rated movie and then they cut it back, I'd believe you, especially
right.
with that. Like,
yeah.
Because that's why you hire those guys, to make, like, Dumb and Dumber, but, like, with inside, but with cartoons. Like,
you know what this reminds me of is, like, the Disney movies they were putting out in the 80s that weren't musicals, and they weren't trying necessarily to cater to kids.
Sure.
They were just trying to make animated movies.
Stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you could have made it really much worse, and you could have made it much cleaner.
Oh,
like, you
the fact
gone
there's not, like,
way.
Sperm jokes in this
right.
movie. Well, more sperm jokes than there are. Is surprising.
Although, you know who they missed that they should have gotten? Speaking of the jokes we're making, this is a Jim Carrey movie if there's ever been one, right? Because that's Ace Ventura talking with his butt. And then the second one, he literally comes out of a rhino's ass, which is... we haven't done that one yet. It's super racist.
The head out of the rhino's ass?
No, just the second movie as a whole.
Ace Ventura,
okay.
Yes.
I just want to say
the one where he goes to Africa.
Oh, I know.
To find the
I saw it in Africa.
Oh, boy.
Well, no, speaking of animations, there was actually a lot of powerhouse animations that came out that year. Shrek. Monsters, Inc., and to top it all off, Spirited Wind. So that's what Moses Joan had Miyazaki. to compare to.
Yeah. Oh, you mean Spirited Away?
Spirited Away. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Read that wrong. Reading. I can't. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell him everything he knows.
So thanks. Maybe they realized, hey, animation is kind of hot this year. Let's try.
Let's put out a movie.
And there,
well,
there was,
plus Disney was not having a good year that year, or for the past several years.
This was the year of Atlantis, or the year after Atlantis.
I think it was around that time. Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, the first Academy Award for animated film went to Shrek. Because Disney had fought for it since Beauty and the Beast. It was an evil djinn, right? It was, the Academy Award will exist, but you won't win it.
not for the first 2 years, anyway.
What was the second year?
Spirited Away.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Didn't Snow White win an Academy Award?
It won a special Academy Award, but it didn't win a main competitive award.
And then in 88, Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture.
Silence of the Lambs beat it. It was 91.
91.
Yeah.
Right choice. Silence is better. But at the same time, they're like, Disney grabbed someone by the scrotum and said, you're going to give me an award? And so they came up with Best Animated, and then out of spite, the evil djinn said, you have to lose. And then they lost for 5 years straight to Pixar.
Yeah. That was before they owned Pixar, so yeah, they were consistently losing.
I think technically I'm 25% owned by Disney now.
Are you?
Right around there.
Yeah.
How so? Curious.
Well, first of all, I refuse to join the metric system, so that they just endorse me naturally.
Yeah.
And then we did several loving reviews of Disney movies, which didn't deserve it. But, you know, people don't listen to those episodes. We're fine.
Ah.
That's okay.
So Osmosis Jones, then, if this was a musical... No, I'm not going to go there.
Osmosis!
You can make this a musical. You can make anything a musical.
Yo, yeah. Osmosis Jones, but you put in little West Side Stories to it. Think about it. You know,
when you're a germ, you're a germ all the way. Yes,
that's what you got to do.
The white blood cells
versus the red blood cells. There we go, Tension already, there it is.
There's a solo at the end.
Mm-hmm. It's touching. Yeah. Light turns blue for a second.
Yeah. A love song between Osmosis and Brandy.
The right. I like to be in the appendix. Okay, for me in the appendix.
We'll play Officer Crumkey.
Drax.
Yeah.
Here we go.
They can make a musical out of anything. Right now they're making a musical, y'all, Netflix, Queen's Gambit.
There's a musical Queen's out of Gambit? That?
Yeah.
I'm having my first period at a chess right tournament.
That's what's going on right now.
Huh.
Yeah, they're working on it.
You can tell a lot of anything. I told my wife, you can tell a man wrote a script when an emotional moment happens around a woman's period. And, right? She's winning a chess tournament. She's like, what's this going down my leg? And, that's the plot twist. Here's a tampon. I've made a friend. Thank you. And I was like, a man wrote this, didn't it? And it was a man wrote the book and a man wrote the screenplay.
Oh, it wasn't just any man. It was
change.
I was so surprised that, speaking of the guy who wrote the book, I was so surprised that Walter Trevis wrote the Queen's Gambit book.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, I will say, the show's fine. It just could have been a two-hour movie, man. It didn't need to be 6 one-hour episodes. It was interesting, and the actors and actresses were very good. She was a great lead. It doesn't need to be 9.5 days long, man.
So there was already a musical about chess, and it wasn't that good because ABBA wrote it.
Oh my God! That is
Shut your mouth! I love ABBA.
ABBA's one of the worst bands ever.
Oh my gosh, Daniel!
What? ABBA's totally fine.
I don't know five of their
songs. Thank you.
What's the
Mamma
Mia? Mamma Mia! That first Mamma Mia movie? Oh, yes. That was just a warm Sunday afternoon, isn't
Pierce
it?
Pierce Brosnan?
Oh, dude, that man can't not be sexy.
Mm. Colin Firth? He doesn't smile with his teeth.
Dude, the sequel? They're trying to figure out who's the dad between three beefcakes. Oh, girl.
Oh, she a hoe. Oh, yeah. I forgot
No, my whole point to all that is that they can make a musical out of anything.
That's true.
You know?
Mamma Mia.
They made a musical out of Spider-Man.
Absolutely. Dude, Spider-Man and
Broadway.
The
Broadway. Only killed about as many people as you'd expect.
Bono was in it.
He wrote the music for it. He wasn't
in it. I am your Dr. Octopus. I don't know what that was.
Oh, Neither do I.
Osmosis Jones, we forgot.
Oh yeah, Bono wrote the musical for Osmosis Jones too. That's where we were.
Bono shows up and he's like, "I am chlamydia," and he just dances off the stage.
That would be perfect casting right there. David Bowie as chlamydia.
The temperature part. Elevation.
So hold on, this is a good lesson for those of you who don't know, from our resident nurse here. What is the temperature that you don't want to be? What's pronounced brain dead?
You don't want to be above 104.
104.
Above 104 is not good. You start to have permanent brain damage. Then. So the fact that they're saying that he's at 108 and he's still like talking is just kind of funny to me. That's all.
Do you die at 108?
Dude, yes.
No. You die before 108.
You die before 108.
108 is when they put you in the microwave
above
for 30 seconds.
You have like permanent brain damage,
dude.
And also, I'm just saying, it's a technicality. It's cool. I get what they're trying to say, but a fever is the immune system's response.
Right,
that's right.
You're killing germs, so it actually would be the cops causing it.
I've had my second dose. I know what causes a fever.
Well, yes. I found
microchips from Bill Gates.
Yes.
I found microchips.
A plot hole to this movie.
Holy shit. Whoa.
All right,
check
phones.
This out. Right,
call
so,
Mr. Warner Brothers.
So when Laura Fishburne's character, the Red Death, goes into what was this cerebellum hall and take what does he take
cerebellum hall.
I don't know science. He takes what was I forgot what it did. That causes his temperature to
he was in the hypothalamus.
The hypothalamus.
And so
should we send this to that anatomy teacher?
I think so, and it wasn't her. He's been kind of fluish and he drinks a beer which is technically alcohol, right?
So,
And then at the end,
alcohol technically can kill germs.
So, yeah. And I think after the dramatic Matrix style fight scene that happens on the daughter's eye, wow, if you take this out of context, it's going to sound
dude,
weird.
No. Are you setting up a Chekhov's gun?
Huh?
You go.
No, sorry. Is that an old resin joke? Sorry.
No, okay, it's not. It's a screenplay thing.
Oh, okay. And then after the battle of the eyelash, and he comes down, and then the germ goes into alcohol, and then it dies. Why did the germ die when he drank beer?
Because it wasn't in the stomach or in the part of the digestive tract.
I just
at that
wasted
point.
3 minutes. Then sorry. Then
no,
that's
the guess. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But alcohol gets into the bloodstream.
Wait, what? I've been drinking all day. What's going on?
You are healed. That's why.
Alcohol, You're mortal.
Alcohol technically gets in the bloodstream, so. Could have gotten to him. You're not wrong.
Well, that's beer, which is like at best 5%, and what he fell into at the end was a petri dish full of like 100% alcohol.
Yeah, it's rubbing alcohol.
So take shots of what was it? What's the super maker? Not Maker's Mark.
Four Loko.
Needed Everclear.
Everclear. That's what I'm saying. Everclear. Or Bacardi 151. Or
I feel like at this point we're saying, you know what would have cured COVID is if we all injected ourselves with bleach.
No, we would have injected ourselves with Everclear. You just have to hear about someone complain about their like shitty dad for 20 minutes, and we're good. Everclear jokes for people who are older than Noor.
Oh, trust me, I know what Everclear is.
Oh, boy.
I've had two bad nights on Everclear.
No, it was also a band.
It's also a band.
I've had two bad nights on Everclear. I'm glad
you don't know Everclair. I'm glad for you that you
so
don't know
the,
that.
Was the drink named after the band or the band named after
the
drink?
Where your flowers can bloom. You don't know that band?
No. That's not on my playlist.
You're lucky. You're fortunate. They're not as bad as Nickelback, but they're pretty close.
Yeah. That was when we spelled nu metal with a U.
Indeed. And an umlaut.
That's right.
All right, your project.
Give me your project of this podcast
is when you drive home is to listen to an Everclear song.
Everclear song.
Yeah,
okay.
90s band.
Father of mine.
Yeah.
Would you rather have listen to Everclear or drink Everclear?
Both.
Okay,
why not
both? When I went to Miami, Ohio, Everclear was illegal in our state.
Illegal?
Illegal, because it's incredibly hard proof, and it was illegal. But we are about 15 miles from the Indiana border, so the upperclassmen would drive across the border to get Everclear, have to, you know, hide low from the cops. And I'm just like, dude, all it's going to do is ruin Hawaiian Punch. And it did. But you know what? I forget the rest of the story, so it wins.
Well, that means that definitely imbibed in Everclear then.
Let me tell you how we used to do Everclear back in my day.
Oh, please.
Just like 4 or 5 years ago.
And it would be what kills Larry Fishburne. It's what would kill the Red Death from this movie is Everclear.
Two bottles of Everclear, two jugs of red Hawaiian Punch.
Sure.
Y'all know in the frozen food section how you get the lemonade when the frozen sale.
Yeah, sure.
You get two of those. You cut up a pineapple, cut up a watermelon, and you get juicy juice, juice for kids, and put it in a Gatorade water cooler. Boom.
Huh.
Night forgotten.
Diabetes.
Diabetes.
That I mean, first of all, A, you're right.
Yes.
And B, I'm glad I can't drink like that anymore. Just you describing it immediately made me want Crystal, and that's bad. Like, everything about that's like, you've made your life into a joke.
That just like smell. Right. That smell, you know.
For those of you from Carolina, that's when you go to a cookout. Like, whatever your nearby trash food is. When I was in Miami, Ohio, for those of you old people, we put chili on hot dogs, not chili dogs, because it also ends up on spaghetti with cheese. This is Greek chili, and there was a guy who just sold it out like. The skylight had a person there until 4 a.m, and they just sold it out their window. And so there I am, walking down the street with like 3 chili dogs. The cop's like, oh, he is very drunk.
You act like no one else has ever heard of Skyline Chili. I've had Skyline Chili.
I haven't had Skyline Chili.
The spaghetti with the chili and then like a pound oyster of crackers cheese and the oyster crackers. Yes.
Boy, girl, man. Nice. Oh. Mm. I'm dying in
my
heart.
Oysters in this movie.
First time I had oysters in New Orleans. It was
charred. Were they raw or cooked?
Charred. So cooked.
Cooked.
Yeah, there we go.
Delicious.
Yeah, of course.
So in other words, a dumb high schooler wasn't feeding you poison.
Nah.
So the first time I had raw oysters, I was visiting my buddy Michael in Boston. You know, so that you get real seafood there. It was on a pier. And a dude came up and just... with a shovel.
Was like he a co-op?
I'm sorry, I had to say it.
He was there with a snow shovel. And then he just dumped the snow shovel on the round table. Hey, and Nick, you throw the shells right back into the bag.
Can you tell me, Nick, how to pronounce the word chowder properly?
You say chowder.
There you go.
Chowder.
That was Crocodile Hunter just right there. Oh, crikey, I just had some chowder.
I had a chowder.
That's a knife.
Well, when, you know, Florence Nightingale shows up at the end, seduces everyone with her charms. It's a real medical drama. You know, Dr. House at the end has his musical number, and the one black guy shows up.
Well, hold on. Speaking of doctors, that was a handsome doctor at the ER. We could not talk about that doctor.
We end up in a telenovela version of ER set in, like,
in front of a brick wall.
We have to get some ice.
What's wrong with him?
We have to get some ice. Okay. Just in case you guys don't know. That is not what you do.
So, hold on. Let's talk about
this. You give medicine.
A man who has 100+ fever.
107 degrees.
We don't know what's wrong with him. We need to cool him down.
Right.
They give him no medicine, just bags of ice.
Just bags of ice.
Sometimes you can do
both. Exactly what would happen, you guys.
Put him in one of those, like, the bench is tilted forward and slid him into one of those metal ice baths you see football players in.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, nothing. He just looks handsome and sweaty. Like, and his hair's part in the middle with a little teardrops down the side. You're just like, he's gonna tell some kid his dad's dead.
Well, and they let the daughter in the back.
No.
He's like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy! He's He's like, get her out of here.
The doctor is Rob Lowe's non-union Mexican equivalent. That's what he looks like.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
Well, he was on Beverly Hills 90210 until the season before when he was kicked off for making a move at someone's mom. And then, you know, he just got removed.
Oh, I'm sure this doctor's had sex with a whole bunch of moms. Let's be honest.
I mean, in a movie filled with people, he stood out the most.
Because he had a jawline.
That's true.
Bill, you don't have to worry about that with Bill Murray. Bill Murray does not worry about jawlines.
Not
Lost in Translation's Bill Murray.
He was like 50 at the time, though, right? Yeah, he was getting up there.
I don't worry about my jawline. I'm 35. Hey, geez.
You still have a goat. You have a beard to distract it. Me, I've been trying to grow goatee for a year. Yes, this is.
I mean, it's coming in strong, buddy.
Thank you.
That's right.
My girlfriend calls it pubes, but you know, it's here, near, or there.
The growing blackness.
Thank you.
That's
right. Yeah. I don't get the taco meat, which is the first too. So.
Dude, you forget, man. I teach high school, so every dude who's like this close to having a mustache that would allow him in 50 yards at a play school, like, dude. We're talking about nonsense. Although the tragedy is, and this is just people who almost feel cool, the mullet is coming back, and God help us all.
What?
Dude. And the mullet where you have your side shaved, like you are going down some sort of tragic waterfall event.
Mattingly, I thought I told you to get rid of those sideburns.
Good God, why?
No,
why is it coming back?
Because people are renting a lot more ATVs. I don't know. Like, we're going mutton, so I'm going to trust the guy with the skullet.
It's the COVID cut, man. People just, they grew their hair out. They didn't know what to do. Oh, we have long hair in the back. We need to be short in the front. I mean,
I'll say, I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's like going on The Masked Singer or something. You have to have more dignity than this. You just gotta do it. You gotta respect yourself enough to not end up with a skullet.
I know. I go to Target and all these clothes are like, they're like what I wore in the early 90s. Like,
oh,
it's acid-white. Like,
we gotta back up. We live in the metro Atlanta area, and the amount of time I see high schoolers wearing Atlanta 96 game stuff. Like,
dude,
oh.
I don't know if you have. So there's, in the Marietta Square, there is a store where you can, like, exchange clothes and stuff.
Sure.
All, and these vintage clothes that I guess we all used to wear back in the day, they go for like $50. And these are shirts that you get from like, you know, a free t-shirt that you get from like, that you got from like the 96 Olympics and they just threw at you. And they're going for like $50. So
is he coming back?
Is he?
The what's it? The Atlanta what's it? I gotta, because we're talking exactly about this, it's been driving me fucking crazy. So there is a online comic book auction site that's on Twitter called Rallies, and someone is advertising that they're going to auction off an entire 1999 first edition of all the Pokemon cards. And I will say, the statistic they quote is 2 years ago, a ranked 10, which is a flawless condition, foil Charizard went for $350,000.
Jeez.
2 years ago. And now he has the entire set up for auction. And so it's supposed to go for multiple million dollars. And that's what we're talking about with vintage clothes.
Jesus.
Like, right? This is 1999. This is not even more than 25 years ago. This is 22 years ago.
I hate myself because I had all those.
Right! Because you know what they were? God. They were a game for children. This is a game for children. It's like if... I flipped a lot of old Nintendos because I'll get that itch. I'll be just like, who has an NES games? And they, you know, we play them for a while. I have a 64 right now. But you know what a Nintendo is from 1985? $50.
Yeah.
You flip it, it's 45 this time.
I've heard,
right?
Sealed NES games, though, especially the popular ones, can go for a couple $1,000.
That's the thing. People want to relive Christmas morning, and it's a shame, you know, because games are meant to be played.
I'm raiding my attic, my childhood attic,
sure,
right now.
I used to have a binder of Pokemon cards. I wonder what happened to it.
I have Magic cards, and you know what I do with them? Sometimes play with them.
It's
dirty.
Yeah.
So dirty.
So Magic cards. I mean, that's the white blood cell of cards right there.
So this movie ends eventually.
It does.
It ends with the
germ gets defeated, Terminator 2 style, and then Frank gets better.
Dun, 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 dun.
The mayor, Bill Shatner, loses, and Ron Howard wins.
And so he ends up cleaning up shit, literally. Yeah.
And then Osmosis Jones.
And he's like, with a fart.
Oh, yeah, he does accidentally set off a fart. And that's actually the end of the movie, isn't it? It's like Bill Murray's last line.
Blast line?
Was that you or something?
Was that you? Oh, God.
No, is it a
smash cut?
No, better in than out or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Better than in than out, yeah.
And that was the last line of the movie.
Hooray.
And he eats one carrot. He eats eggs from the ground, fried chicken, oysters. What else does he eat? Shit. And then the last thing he eats was a carrot.
Osmosis Jones also was kicked off the force earlier, but he's reinstated at the end with his new partner, the sugar pill, Drax. So, hey.
That's a good ending.
Is it Drax or Drix?
Drix.
Drix.
Saying it wrong probably the entire time.
Drax and Drix.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Drix the Destroyer.
Yeah, you really upset that one person.
Yes. I'm sure I did. We're going to get so many emails.
So, that one email. Final thought, Sudsy.
I don't hate the movie. I watched it a bunch on cable as a kid, and watching it again, I feel the same way about it. It's a nice little distraction. I like the animation, but I mean, I'm not like eager to revisit it again, but if it's ever like just on to you, it's like, you know what? I need to take a nap in about half an hour. I can watch some of this movie.
Sure. No.
I'm going to watch this movie whenever I need motivation to eat healthy. Because that's scary. And God knows what the insides of me look like. And if it looks, and I don't eat like Frank does. But, you know, I'd say it's a very good educational movie. And, I really enjoyed it.
Like watching Hoarders before you clean the house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and considering I had a wing night yesterday, I get you. So.
Well, no, for real. Like, I watch The Biggest Loser until they pass my weight, and then I stop. I was like, this weighs more than me. It's like, they're at my weight. I gotta stop watching it because I feel bad for you.
I thought this movie was fun. It's super fun. It's cute. I like the puns and that it's just a neat idea for a movie, I think. There's not many like it. It's gross. So sure I wouldn't recommend watching it after you eat or anything. Like Nora was saying, it will kind of motivate you to take better care of yourself. So that's good. I don't think it's quite a kid's movie, but not quite an adult movie either. It's kind of in that weird, strange category, but yeah, it entertained me for 90 minutes.
See, I will take what Lauren said and kind of riff on it a bit, but like the problem for me is that I don't know who it's aimed at. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if like I'm supposed to think of this as a big old family picture because it's really gross. I mean, and again, like, I don't know, maybe if you're like an 11-year-old boy and you want to show him what it's like to watch, like, but even that, it's weird. For me, I thought it was fine. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I thought, again, if it was on TV, it's not like I'd turn off when my kid was watching it. But, like, it's weird because this is an era where Shrek is also kind of gross, but it's an actual movie, right? Because it is. There's a lot of fart jokes and mm-hmm. gross jokes and earwax jokes and, like, small penis jokes, which is weird. But there's a movie there even if you take out the jokes. If you took out the jokes here, there's no movie. So, like, for me, it's what you described. It's when we were kids and we didn't have all the Netflix and all the streaming services. If this was just on Fox, let the kid watch it because it doesn't hurt anything. But now in the age of streaming, skip it. There's so much better things that are similar. Like, Inside Out is the same idea, but it's good. Dude, there are episodes of Scooby-Doo when they go inside the human body that's better than this. Like I said at the beginning, it's Magic School Bus with too much budget. Watch the Magic School Bus.
And too much fart jokes.
If you take out the animation of this movie, it's just Frank and 2 days to live.
If you were going to invest this much money in animation, make it a better movie. The script must be the cheapest thing you're affording at that point. Do anything. Really? It took 2 years to animate this shit, and they that made fart jokes. We see someone using a laser to chisel out a mucus wad. Like, for 2 minutes! And then a zit explodes on an SNL character. Gross! Anyway, thanks for listening to this nonsense, because we will have more nonsense every week. And if you're on Patreon, even more than that! Congratulations. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned next week and every future week. We'll put another piece of your past on trial, or whatever the current slogan is. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is Sheriff Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Reibel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.